Sirs, take your places and be vigilant. If any noise or soldier you perceive near to the walls, by some apparent sign, let us have knowledge at the court of guard.
Sergeant, you shall.
Thus our poor servitors, when others sleep upon their quiet beds, constrained to watch in darkness, rain, and cold.
Lord Regent, and redoubted Burgundy, by whose approach the regions of Artois, Walloon, and Picardy are friends to us. This happy night, the Frenchmen are secure, having all day caroused and banqueted. Embrace we then this opportunity, as fitting best, to quittance their deceit, contrived by art and baleful sorcery.
Coward of France, not much he wrongs his fame. Despairing of his own arms' fortitude to join with witches in the help of hell.
Yes.
Traitors have never other company. But what's that Pucelle whom they term so pure?
Oh, a maid, they say.
A maid? Yes. And be so martial?
Pray God she prove not masculine ere long, if underneath the standard of the French she carry armor as she hath begun.
Well, let them practice and converse with spirits. God is our fortress,
Amen.
In whose conquering name let us resolve to scale their flinty bulwarks.
Ascend, brave Talbot! We will follow thee.
We're not all together.
Huh?
Better far, I guess, that we do make our entrance several ways. That if it chance the one of us to fall, the other yet may rise against their force.
Agreed! I'll to yon corner.
And I to this.
And there will Talbot mount. Or make his grave. Now, Salisbury, for thee, and for the right of English Henry, shall this night appear how much in duty I am bound to both.
Unready, sir.
Unready? I am glad we escaped so well.
It's time I tried to wake and leave our beds, hearing alarms at our chamber doors.
I think this Talbot be a fiend of hell.
If not of hell, a heaven sure favor him.
Here cometh Charles. I marvel how he sped.
Oh, thought holy Joan was his defensive guard.
Is this thy cunning, thou deceitful dame? Didst thou at first of flatterers withal make us partakers of a little gain, that now our loss might be 10 times so much?
Wherefore is Charles impatient with his friends? At all times will you have my power alike? Sleeping or waking, must I still prevail, or will you blame and lay the fault on me? Improvident soldiers! Had your watch been good, this sudden mischief never could have fallen.
Duke of Alençon, this was your default, that being captain of the watch tonight did look no better to that weighty charge.
Had all our quarters been as safely kept as that whereof I had the government, we had not been thus shamefully surprised.
Mine was secure.
And so was mine, my lord.
And for myself, most part of all this night within her quarter. And mine own precinct, I was employed in passing to and fro about relieving of the sentinels. Then how or which way should they first break in?
Question, my lord, no further of the case how or which way. For sure they found some place but weakly guarded where the breach was made. And now there rests no other shift but this: to gather our soldiers, scattered and dispersed, and lay new platforms to endamage them.
Talbot! Talbot!
I'll be so bold to take what they have left. The cry of Talbot serves me for a sword, for I have loaded me with many spoils, using no other weapon but his name.
And Talbot! Here! Sound retreat!
Retreat!
And cease our our hard pursuit. The day begins to break, and night is fled, whose pitchy mantle overveiled the earth.
I paid my vow to Salisbury's soul. For every drop of blood was drawn from him, there hath at least 5 Frenchmen died tonight. And that hereafter ages may behold what ruin happened in revenge of him, within their chiefest temple I'll erect a tomb wherein his corpse shall be interred, upon the which, that everyone may read, shall be engraved the sack of Orleans, the treacherous manner of his mournful death, and what a terror he had been to France. Advance his body to the marketplace, the middle center of this cursed town. Lords, in all our bloody massacre, I muse we met not with the Dolphin's grace. His new-come champion, virtuous June of Ayr, nor any of his false confederates.
They thought, Lord Talbot, when the fight began, roused on the sudden from their drowsy beds, they did amongst the troops of armed men leap o'er the walls for refuge in the field.
Myself, as far as I could well discern for smoke and dusky vapors of the night, I'm sure I scared the Dolphin and his trull when arm in arm they both came swiftly running, like to a pair of loving turtle doves that could not live asunder day or night. After that things are set in order here, we'll follow them with all the power we have.
All hail, my lord. Which of this princely train call ye the warlike Talbot, for his acts so much applauded through the realm of France?
Here is the Talbot. Who would speak with him?
The virtuous lady Countess of Auvergne. With modesty, admiring thy renown, by me entreats, great lord, thou wouldst vouchsafe to visit her poor castle where she lies, that she may boast she hath beheld the man whose glory fills the world with loud report.
Is it even so? Nay, then, I see our wars will turn unto a peaceful comic sport when ladies crave to be encountered with. You may not, my lord, despise her gentle suit.
Oh, ne'er trust me, then. For when a world of men could not prevail with all their oratory, yet hath a woman's kindness overruled. And therefore tell her I return great thanks, and with submission will attend on her. Oh. Will not your honors bear me company?
Oh, no, truly, it is more than manners will. But I have heard it said, unbidden guests are often welcomest when they are gone.
Why then alone, since there's no remedy, I mean to prove this lady's courtesy. Come hither, Captain. You perceive my mind?
I do, my lord.
And mean accordingly.
Porter, remember what I gave in charge. And when you have done so, bring the keys to me.
Madam, I will.
The plot is laid. If all things fall out right, I shall as famous be by this exploit as Scythian Tomyris by Cyrus' death. Great is the rumor of this dreadful knight, and his achievements of no less account. Fain would mine eyes be witness with mine ears to give their censure of these rare reports.
According as your ladyship desired, by message craved, so is Lord Talbot come.
And he is welcome! What? Is this the man?
Madam, it is.
Is this the scourge of France? Is this the Talbot so much feared abroad that with his name the mothers still their babes? I see report is fabulous and false. I thought I should have seen some Hercules, a second Hector for his grim aspect and large proportion of his strong-knit limbs. Alas, this is a child. Silly dwarf! But it cannot be this weak and riddled shrimp should strike such terror to his enemies.
Madam, I have been bold to trouble you, but since your ladyship is not at leisure, I'll sort some other time to visit you.
What means he now? Go ask him whither he goes.
Stay, my Lord Talbot, for my lady craves to know the cause of your abrupt departure.
Marry, for that she's in a wrong belief, I go to certify her Talbot's here.
If thou be he, then art thou prisoner.
A prisoner? To whom?
To me, bloodthirsty lord. And for that cause I trained thee to my house. Long time thy shadow hath been thrall to me, for in my gallery thy picture hangs. But now the substance shall endure the like, and I shall chain these legs and arms of thine, that hast by tyranny these many years wasted our country, slain our citizens, and sent our sons and husbands captivate. Laughest thou, wretch? Thy mirth shall turn to moan.
I laugh to see your ladyship so fond to think that you have aught but Talbot's shadow whereon to practice your severity.
Why, art not thou the man?
I am indeed.
Then have I substance too?
No. No, I am but shadow of myself. You are deceived. My substance is not here. For what you see is but the smallest part and least proportion of humanity, I tell you, madam. With a whole frame here, it is of such a spacious, lofty pitch. Your roof were not sufficient to contain it.
This is a riddling merchant for the nonce. He will be here, and yet he is not here. How can these contrarieties agree?
That will I show you, presently. How say you, madam? Are you now persuaded that Talbot is but shadow of himself? These are his substance, sinews, arms, and strength, with which he yoketh your rebellious necks, raiseth your cities, and subverts your towns, and in a moment makes them desolate.
Victorious Talbot, pardon my abuse. I find thou art no less than fame hath bruited, and more than may be gathered by thy shape. Let my presumption not provoke thy wrath, for I am sorry that with reverence I did not entertain thee as thou art.
Be not dismayed, fair lady, nor misconster the mind of Talbot, as you did mistake the outward composition of his body. What you have done hath not offended me, nor other satisfaction do I crave, but only with your patience, that we may taste of your wine, see what cates you have, for soldiers' stomachs always serve them well.
with all my heart, and think me honored to feast so great a warrior in my house.
Great lords and gentlemen, what means this silence? Dare no man answer in a case of truth?
Within the temple hall we were too loud. The garden here is more convenient.
Then say at once if I maintain the truth. Or else was wrangling Somerset in error.
Faith, I have been a truant in the law and never yet could frame my will to it. And therefore frame the law unto my will.
Judge you, my lord of Warwick, then, between us.
Between two hawks, which flies the higher pitch, between two dogs, which hath the deeper mouth, between two blades, which bears the better temper, between two horses, which doth bear him best, between two girls, which hath the merriest eye, I have perhaps some shallow spirit of judgment, but in these nice sharp quillets of the law, good faith, I am no wiser than a door.
Tut, tut. Here is a mannerly forbearance. The truth appears so naked on my side that any purblind eye may find it out.
And on my side it is so well apparelled, so clear, so shining, and so evident that it will glimmer through a blind man's eye.
Since you are tongue-tied and so loath to speak, in dumb significance proclaim your thoughts. Let him that is a true-born gentleman and stands upon the honour of his birth, if he suppose that I have pleaded truth, from off this briar pluck a white rose with me.
Let him that is no coward nor no flatterer, but dare maintain the party of the truth, pluck a red rose from off this thorn with me.
I love no colours, and without all colour of base insinuating flattery, I pluck this white rose with Plantagenet.
I pluck this red rose with young Somerset, and say withal, I think he held the right.
Stay, lords and gentlemen.
Pluck no more till you conclude that he upon whose side the fewest roses from the tree is cropped shall yield the other in the right opinion.
Oh, good Master Vernon, it is well objected. If I have fewest, I subscribe in silence.
And I.
Then, for the truth and plainness of the case, I pluck this pale and maiden blossom here, giving my verdict on the white rose side.
Prick not your finger as you pluck it off, lest bleeding you do paint the white rose red and fall on my side so against your will.
If I, my lord, for my opinion bleed, opinion shall be surgeon to my hurt and keep me on the side where now I am.
Well, well, come on. Who else?
Unless my study, my books be false, the argument you held was wrong in law. In sign whereof, I pluck a white rose too.
Now, Somerset.
Where is your argument?
Here in my scabbard meditating that shall dye your white rose in a bloody red.
Meantime, your cheeks do counterfeit our roses. For pale they look with fear, as witnessing the truth on our side.
No, Plantagenet, is not for fear, but anger that thy cheeks blush for pure shame to counterfeit our roses, and yet thy tongue will not confess thy error.
Hath not thy rose a canker, Somerset?
Hath not thy rose a thorn, Plantagenet?
Aye, sharp and piercing to maintain his truth, whilst thy consuming canker eats his falsehood.
Well, I'll find friends to wear my bleeding roses that shall maintain what I have said is true. Where false Plantagenet dare not be seen.
Now by this maiden blossom in my hand, I scorn thee and thy fashion, peevish boy.
Turn not thy scorns this way, Plantagenet.
Proud Paul, I will, and scorn both him and thee.
I'll turn my part thereof into thy throat.
Away, away, good William de la Pole. We grace the yeoman by conversing with him.
Now, by God's will, thou wrongst him, Somerset. His grandfather was Lionel, Duke of Clarence, third son to the third Edward, King of England. Spring crestless yeoman from so deep a root.
He bears him under place's privilege, or dares not for his craven heart, say, just.
By him that made me, I'll maintain my words on any plot of ground in Christendom. Was not thy father, Richard Earl of Cambridge, for treason headed in our late king's days? And by his treason stands not thou attainted, corrupted, and exempt from ancient gentry? His trespass yet lives guilty in thy blood, and till thou be restored, thou art a yeoman.
My father was attached, not attainted, condemned to die for treason, but no traitor, and that I'll prove on better men than Somerset were growing time once ripened to my will.
And for your partaker, Pole, and you yourself, I'll note you in my book of memory. To scourge you for this apprehension, look to it well. Say you are well worn.
Ah, thou shalt find us ready for thee still, and know us by these colours for thy foes, for these my friends in spite of thee shall wear.
And by my soul, this pale and angry rose, as cognizance of my blood-drinking hate, will I forever and my faction wear, until it wither with me to my grave, or flourish to the height of my degree.
Go forward, and be choked with thy ambition. And so farewell until I meet thee next.
Have with thee, Pole. Farewell, ambitious Richard.
How I am braved and must perforce endure it.
This blot that they object against your house shall be wiped out in the next parliament, called for the truce of Winchester and Gloucester. And if thou be not then created York, I will not live to be accounted Warwick. In time, in signal of my love to thee against proud Somerset and William Pole, will I upon thy party wear this rose. And here I prophesy, this brawl today, grown to this faction in the temple garden, shall send between the red rose and the white 1,000 souls to death and deadly night.
Good Master Vernon, I am bound to you that you on my behalf would pluck a flower.
In your behalf, still will I wear the same.
And so will I.
Thanks, gentlemen. Come, let us four to dinner. I dare say this quarrel will drink blood another day.
Kind keepers of my weak, decaying age, let dying Mortimer here rest himself. Even as a man new hailed from the rack, so fair my limbs with long imprisonment. These grey locks, the pursuivants of death, Nestor-like aged in an age of care, argue the end of Edmund Mortimer. But tell me, keeper,
Will my nephew come?
Richard Plantagenet, my lord, will come. We sent unto the temple, unto his chamber. An answer was returned that he will come.
Enough. My soul shall then be satisfied. Poor gentleman. His wrong doth equal mine. Since Henry Monmouth first began to reign, before whose glory I was great in arms, this loathsome sequestration have I had. Even so long has Richard been obscured, deprived of honor and inheritance. But now the arbitrator of despairs, just death, kind umpire of men's miseries, with sweet enlargement dost dismiss me hence. I would his troubles likewise were expired, and so he might recover what was lost.
My lord, your loving nephew now is come.
Richard Plantagenet, my friend, is come.
Aye, noble uncle. Thus ignobly used. Your nephew, late despised Richard, comes.
Direct my arms, I may embrace his neck. Now, declare, sweet stem of York's great stock, why didst thou say, of late thou wast despised?
First, lean thine aged back against mine arm. And in that ease, I'll tell thee my disease. This day, in argument upon a case, some words there grew twixt Somerset and me, among which terms he used his lavish tongue and did upbraid me with my father's death. Therefore, good uncle, for my father's sake, in honor of a true Plantagenet, and for alliance sake, declare the cause. My father, Earl of Cambridge, lost his head.
That cause, fair nephew, that imprisoned me and hath detained me all my flowering youth within a loathsome dungeon there to pine, was cursed instrument of his decease.
Discover more at large what cause that was.
Henry the Fourth, grandfather to this king, deposed his nephew Richard, the first begotten lawful heir of Edward, king, the third of that descent. In Henry's reign, the Percies of the North, finding his usurpation most unjust, endeavored my advancement to the throne. The reason moved these warlike lords to this was that young King Richard thus removed, leaving no heir begotten of his body, I was the next by birth and parentage. For through my mother, I derived am from Lionel, Duke of Clarence, the third son to King Edward III. Whereas he from John of Gaunt doth bring his pedigree, being but fourth of that heroic line. But mark, as in that haughty great attempt, I labor it to plant the rightful heir, I lost my liberty and they their lives. Long after this, when Henry V, succeeding his father Bolingbroke, did reign, thy father, the Earl of Cambridge then, derived from famous Edmund Langley, Duke of York, marrying my sister that thy mother was, again in pity of my hard distress, levied an army, weaning to redeem and have installed me in the diadem. But as the rest, so fell that noble earl and was beheaded. Thus the Mortimers in whom the title rested were suppressed.
Of which, my lord, your honor is the last.
True. And thou seest that I no issue have. Thou art my heir. The rest I wish thee gather. But yet be wary in thy studious care.
Thy grave admonishments prevail with me. But yet methinks my father's execution was nothing less than bloody tyranny.
With silence, nephew, be thou politic. Strong, fixed is the house of Lancaster, and like a mountain, not to be removed. And now, thy uncle is removing hence, as princes do their courts when they are cloyed with long continuance in a settled place.
Oh, uncle. Would some part of my young years might but redeem the passing of your age.
Ah, then does wrong me, as that slaughterer doth that giveth many wounds when one will kill. Or not, except thou sorrow for my good. Only give order for my funeral. And so, farewell, and fair befall thy hopes. And prosperous be thy life in peace and war.
And peace, no war befall thy parting soul. I will lock his counsel in my breast. And what I do imagine, let that rest. Keepers, convey him hence. And I myself will see his burial better than his life. Here dies the dusky torture Mortimer, choked with ambition of the meaner sort. And for those wrongs, those bitter injuries which Somerset hath offered to my house, I doubt not but with honour to redress. And therefore haste I to the Parliament, either to be restored to my blood, or make mine ill the advantage of my good.